Hello, Crosshairs family and friends. So cool to be with you here in this early evening and to share this short message with you. So what I'm hoping for this evening is that this message, a shorter message, will really be a scriptural basis for what is to come, because after this, some of the elders will be coming up and just talking about what God has placed on our hearts for where He wants Crosshairs to grow and develop and what He wants Crosshairs to do. So with that, let's go straight to John chapter 21, if you've got your Bibles with you. We're going to be reading from John chapter 21, verse 1 through to verse 17. While you're getting there, isn't it amazing that we serve a God of vision, eh? So there's so many scriptures which speak to God being a God of vision. God seeing ahead and having a plan ahead. Thank goodness for His salvation plan in Jesus, as an example of one of them. It says that before the foundations of the world, He chose us. How's that for a plan as well? Isn't that beautiful? So we serve a God of vision, and what we're going to be exploring today is, what is God's vision for the church and for us as individuals? And how do we see to it that that vision is fulfilled? So John chapter 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." I think some of us would like to go fishing, like Doug and others. They said to Him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved before therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, and fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask Him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." That's the end of the reading. So, I would like to explore two aspects to this concept of vision and the vision that God has, like I said, for the church and for us as individuals. Last week, we introduced a new series called Love Incorruptible. It's a series in which we're going to be going cover to cover through Ephesians, and it's a beautiful book. Last week, in that introduction, we learned about the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the Ephesian church. And what he was writing to them was he was giving them the whole gospel story, the whole truth of the gospel. And this was the reason. This church found itself located in the heart of the Roman Empire in one of the most significant cities of the time, one of the biggest cities, akin to like New York City of today. It was a major commercial center with a port, but it was also a place of severe immorality. It was a place where demonic worship and idol worship was rife. And so this church, in the midst of this, this is where they found themselves. Paul wanted to write them to them to ensure that they never lost their way, that they stayed secure and stayed firm in their faith, despite the pressures that they would find themselves under. And so we see of that church a brilliant church. It's an amazing church. It's changing the culture of Ephesus, incredibly. People like sorcerers are bringing their books to be burned, it says in Acts. The people who are selling little idols for people to worship at home, they were losing business. And they got very, very upset at a stage, dragging Paul to the theater in order to probably have him stoned. Ultimately, that's where they were going. Such was the change of the Ephesian church. They were being very, very effective. But like I said, Paul wanted them to know that this whole counsel of God, and in it he reveals some of the vision that God has for the church, global and local. Now don't get me wrong, we would need like a year of Sundays to get through what is the vision of God for the church. We don't have that time. But I do want to look at Ephesians just briefly to see what Paul was saying in terms of what is the vision for the church. And in summary, Paul writes Ephesians in two parts. The first part, he gives a vision of who we are in Christ. And the vision for the church is that the church would know him. The church would really know Jesus, like really know him. They would know their position in him. They would know the privilege in him. They know the power available to them in Christ. All of this, that they would know Jesus, really know him. And from this place of knowing him, they would then go out and make him known. This was the vision for the Ephesian church. Know Jesus and make him known. Unfortunately, our decals, which are very new, are feeling the heat. But this is a vision for our church as well. That we want to be a church that knows Jesus and makes him known. But here's the thing, church. Here's the thing. One of the most important aspects, which I haven't mentioned, which is in Ephesians, which holds us all together, which holds this vision together, is that Paul wanted them, more than anything else, to have another revelation. It was a revelation of how much Jesus loved them. He wanted them to be a church of love. In Ephesians chapter 3, he writes as follows. He says this. For this reason, this is the linchpin verse in the center of the book, so it's important. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you, Crossways, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, here's another you, hey? Whenever it says you, when you sit up, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Jesus, to really know him, hey? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you, here's another you, this is for you, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Paul knew that to really know Jesus, you can have all the head knowledge in the world. You can study this book inside out. You can memorize verses. But to really know him, you need a revelation of his love. You need a revelation of who he is in his love. And so to know him, we want to be a church that really knows Jesus, but we want to love him. We want to love him as he loves us. And it's from this love that then we will be an effective church out in our community and surrounds. It's interesting that just later on, in talking about the church and the church's role, just a bit on from there, in chapter 4, he goes on to write the following about our role in the church. And he says this, and Neil mentioned this morning, I was very grateful for that. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we, us together, are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We're meant to grow up in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In love. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That all of us are part of the body. All of us have a role to play. All of us, when we're together, we grow in love. And so we need each other. And so our church just now, the elders are going to delineate some of the things that we want to do this year that we think Jesus is telling us to do. And we would want all of us on this journey of being this effective church of knowing Jesus and making Him known. The second part of this message is really about the vision that Jesus has for you. Did you know that Jesus has a vision for you personally? And there's probably no better story or greater story, in my opinion, than the story of Peter. And the story of Peter, we read a little bit just now about his story, about how Jesus had a vision for his life. His story, Peter's story with Jesus, starts much earlier than when we read from. It's a story from Luke chapter 5. He's a fisherman, rugged, tough guy. All right, I can imagine big, strong physique. And Jesus is preaching. And he basically, and doesn't say this in the Bible, but he must have said to him, "Hey, Simon, I want to use your boat because I need to preach." And so Simon, Jesus, preaches from Simon's boat. After that, after preaching, he says to Simon in Luke chapter 5, he says, "Simon, go and fish. Go and catch fish." And Simon says to him, "But I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything. But because you said it, I'll go and do it." And what happens? He rows out, throws his nets, and he gets a miraculous catch of fish. And his response is falling to his knees and declaring praise to Jesus for who he is. He has a revelation and a call from that time. From his revelation, Jesus gives him a vision of what he'll be. He says, "Simon, you're no longer going to be a fisherman. You're now going to be a fisher of men. I'm going to get you to catch men." And like you like me, and just like Peter, have a vision, or Jesus has a vision for you and for me. That we wouldn't just be builders. We wouldn't just be teachers. We wouldn't just be businessmen. We are to be fishers of men. That is Jesus' first call to you and me. Be a fisher of men. We know Peter's story goes on. It goes on in Luke chapter 14. We see this bold and courageous man growing in faith, being really an unbelievable example to the rest. At a moment, there's a storm and they're out at sea and it's nighttime, isn't it? And they all the disciples are petrified. And who comes walking on the water but Jesus? But who gets out the boat? Who gets out the boat? Was it any of the others? No, it's Peter. You can see this bold man, this brave man, growing in his faith. Chapter 16, what happens next in Matthew chapter 16? Everyone's asking, who is this Jesus? Like, could he be like Elijah? Could he be, is he the Messiah? Who is he? He says to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" People are very confused. "Who do you say I am?" Who is it? Peter. He says, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." To which Jesus gives a second download of a vision for his life. He says, "Peter, on this rock, on you, I'm going to be building my church." Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? And Jesus wants to build his church. Like he's calling you to be a fisherman, he wants to build his church on people like you and me, such as his call. But did you know something? Peter was missing a key aspect to his understanding of Jesus. A key aspect to his understanding. He had to go through something in order to develop this understanding of Christ. We know that at a pinnacle of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is betrayed by one of his closest. He's sent to a mockery of a trial. He's abused and tortured. And then in that moment of this abuse and this mockery of a trial, this person who understood Jesus as Lord, I mean, you don't not understand Jesus as Lord if you're going to get out of a boat, for goodness sake, in the middle of the sea. He must have known that Jesus was Lord. He had that revelation of Jesus as Lord. But there was a revelation that he did not have yet. Because in that moment, it all falls apart. It all falls apart and he denies Jesus. And when Jesus needed him the most, he wasn't there. Jesus is crucified, as you know, and then resurrected. And as Jesus starts to appear to his followers, there's this miraculous moment when he appears again to the disciples in this way, the way that we read. And what do we see in this interaction? What do we see here? What is Jesus doing? What is this interaction about? Isn't it amazing that when Peter first met Jesus and was first called, there was a miraculous catch of fish? That Jesus met him where he was. And later, when Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm over this. I don't know about this vision from Jesus. I'm done with this. I'm going back to my fishing, actually. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a catcher of men. And Jesus meets him right there. Right there again. And what does he do? He says, hey, guys, have you caught any fish? No, we haven't caught any fish. Throw the nets over on the right side. You'll catch some. They throw it over, and what happens? And what happens? They catch a miraculous catch of fish. Who is Jesus speaking to in that moment? He's speaking to Peter. Peter realizes through John saying, this is the Lord. He puts on his cloak, he dives in the water, and he swims. Such is his excitement. He wants to get to his Lord. Isn't that a beautiful moment of a time when now Peter is on the shore, probably alone with Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? He's restoring him. And he's teaching him another aspect to him. That Jesus is not just Lord. He is also loving Savior. He's loving Savior. And that regardless of what Peter had done, regardless of his abandonment of Jesus, regardless of him dying and denying him, that Jesus loved him fully. I believe that day, Peter had a revelation of the love of God, which set him up for what was to come. Jesus uncovers this with him. He says to him, Peter, do you love me? Three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. He has a revelation. Yes, Lord, I love you. I see how much you love me. I love you back. Go and feed my sheep, he says. Go and feed my sheep. Again, Peter, do you love me? Go and tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my sheep. And what we know of Peter from this time on is that he's so fully restored, so fully knowing Jesus and knowing his love, that he goes and makes him known in the most unbelievable ways. We read in Acts chapter 3, they're just walking along. There's so many miracles happening around Peter. And here's this poor invalid, crippled man, who looks up to them and says, give me alms, give me alms. Money for the poor, money for the poor. What does Peter say? I don't have money for you. I have silver and gold, I have not. But what I give to you, I give fully. I give you Jesus. Stand up and walk. Isn't that beautiful? What a vision for a man. And this is a church that he has a vision, the same vision for you and for me. He doesn't want you stuck in your earthly life of existence. He wants you to be a fisher of men. He wants to build his church on you. And he wants you through the knowledge of his love to go and reach the lost. To go and reach those who have got no hope. That's his call to you. Jesus would say to you and to me today, do you love me? Do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Hannes, do you love me? Do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Claude, do you love me? Go and feed. Andrew, do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Feeding sheep will look different for you, Andrew, than it will for me. Hannes, for you and for me. But Jesus has a vision for your life, and he wants you to know it. He wants you to know what the vision is. And it comes down to you asking, Lord, and being with him, and he'll reveal his vision for you as he will. I hope that this is a blessing to you, that you are so loved. I want you to remember us as a church, that we are so loved. And as a church, if we can go out to and pursue Jesus together, so that we can know him, know his love, and make him known. Thank you, church, for listening to that. What we're going to do now is just pray, and then I'm going to ask some of the elders to come forward and just talk about this. You might want to respond to the message today by just reaffirming your love for Jesus and say, maybe you want to say, Lord, like, who do you want me to feed? Who are the sheep that need feeding? Who needs your love? I want to pray over you as well in a moment. Lord, we are amazed with how you love us, and we are overawed by your sacrifice, that you would want to not just restore us, you'd want to use us. You don't just want to use us, you want to equip us. You don't just want to equip us, you want to give us a vision of your purpose. Lord, I pray over each one here. I pray over our church that we would be the most loving place in town. Lord, make Crossways the most loving place in town. Lord, that your love would abound here. That the lost would be found. That the hurting would be healed. That the crippled could walk again. Lord Jesus, we want to be used by you. We want to be your instruments of grace. Won't you give us a fresh revelation of your love so that we can stand tall and help others to stand tall too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, thanks, Tones. And I hope you guys are all just really encouraged that Jesus really does love each of us. And it's just so cool to know that he really does have a plan for us. And as Tone said in the beginning, you know, as Crossways Church, we've also just been, as leaders, we've been seeking the Lord and just asking him to reveal his plans and purposes for us as well. And so this afternoon, what we're going to be doing is largely sharing some pictures with you. And God's been so good to us that, you know, as we've spent time praying and asking him his will for us, he's shown us these cool pictures along the way. And I think it's great for us to be able to share them with you as well as part of this journey. But Tone's really spoke initially about our vision, which is to know Jesus and make him known. But we also felt that there were three real core values that make Crossways who we believe God wants us to be. And it's not maybe that different to other churches around, but if you have a look on the wall there, there are three different circles. The first one is worshipping wholeheartedly. And this word wholehearted has been something that's been with us for a long time. And we really believe that God's calling is that. And Alana's going to be sharing a little bit more about what that looks like in practice. And then another one is relating authentically. And we really just believe, you know, in the world that we live in today, there's so much, I guess, a lack of that. And we really want this church to be somewhere where we're known. We know one another. We're able to walk alongside one another. We're able to be real with one another as well. So if we're struggling, let's say we're struggling and we can come around one another and support one another through that. And then also the final thing is linked to each one serving Jesus together. We just really feel that everyone here, everyone in part of the broader church, but equally here, is part of the body of Christ. And really it's when each of us find what it is, as Tony said, what is it that Jesus is calling us to do? And we just start doing that. It might be a little thing, but doing that, those little things add up to great things for the Lord. So what we're going to do is just spend a little bit of time running through each of those. But maybe before we do, I just want to share two pictures that links to kind of this process of figuring out or asking God, what does the vision look like? And to be honest, the initial response we got was nothing in particular. Heather got this picture of a balloon in the sky. And like, it just felt like as an eldership team, as a leadership team, we were in this balloon waiting for God just to reveal what it looked like. And there were just clouds. And it was quite frustrating, but at the same time, it was a relief because we were feeling like, God, you know, what is it? We're pressing in, we're saying, God, please reveal your plans to us. And we felt like there was this haze. And so that was a little bit disconcerting for a team, but that was the picture he started out giving us. So we were praying, God, please won't you start clearing the clouds? We know what it's like to be driving through clouds in Hilton. You can't see very far. You don't have a good vision. So that's where we started. And then the next picture was about 3 weeks ago. We had a time away as elders, and we really, again, we're just praying, God, please won't you show us your plans and your purposes. And our tones, as we were actually, we were finishing up, And we were praying outside just before we left. And Tony just had this picture of a train on a train track. And the sense was that we're called to be on the train. The destination is really up to the Lord. I think that's a key thing. Another thing is that we have to be on the track. And God's the one who lays the track. We don't have to come up with all the plans ourselves. If we're on the track, God's going to take us where he wants to. And also the wonderful thing about going on a train is that often you go through amazing places where God shows you wonderful views. So we don't have to figure it out. As we along this on this train track, God will show us what his plans and purposes are. So I think we were encouraged by that actually what's important is that we're following Jesus. And we don't have to have all the plans and things worked out ourselves. But if we're on the train track and trusting him, in our own lives as well, if we're trusting him, he's going to take us to the destination and the views that he has for us. So just some cool pictures just to share with you. All right, so I'm going to ask Alana to come up now, and she's going to walk us through what it looks like to worship wholeheartedly. Thanks, Alana.
Thanks, Doug. What he might have forgotten to tell you was, just as Tony had finished sharing that word, we heard the sound of a train, and it came from the distance, and it just came all the way across the landscape. And it was such confirmation of the word. God was just confirming for us what he was saying. So it's so exciting when God talks and when we see what he's doing. And there's something about being in the basket or being in the train that because God is leading, there's something about just resting in that, which is very comforting and very reassuring, really. So I just want to share with you the first core value, which is worshiping wholeheartedly up there. This core value Jesus placed on our hearts as an eldership is that we would worship him wholeheartedly, that we would be true worshippers, the kind of worshippers that Jesus is seeking. And in these staggering verses, sorry, I'm not doing well. Can you go back, Ruth? Yeah. John 4, it says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." So the very reason why we exist as nations and as churches is to magnify Jesus through our worship in our whole lives, with our lips and in our personal space and here corporately. So what does this true and proper worship look like? In our personal space, in our private lives, it looks like lives completely surrendered to Jesus and to his purposes. It looks like a life of reverence which seeks to bring Jesus glory in our daily and weekly lives. And it looks like a repenting heart that seeks for transformation by the work of the Holy Spirit. Last year, another vision Jesus gave us was, and the words, clean hands, pure heart, which really captures that repenting, repentive heart. Yeah, there's a whole lot of other ways that we can worship God in our private spaces. But in a corporate sense, it looks like being part of a corporate time of worship and praise and prayer and other ministries in this kind of context, where the Spirit is invited to be part of here and to fill us and to lead us in a time of corporate praise and worship. It's a time where we would love for your participation and engagement. If you have a word or a vision or a picture or a prayer or a testimony, we really encourage you to share it in our corporate times. So what does this look like for us in this coming year ahead? I think we have a whole lot of ideas that we're wanting to trial out, but some of the ways that we're wanting to express this wholehearted worship differently is, for example, meeting in homes on Sundays around a meal. The thought being that there are ministry times that can happen around a meal. Meal and ministry just go so well together. And in homes, there's also another dynamic at play where we are looking at those other values. And just the thought that around a meal and in a home, you can invite someone, like a friend who might not want to come here on a Sunday, like my sister who wouldn't come here on a Sunday, where all these other ministries can take place. So we're really looking forward to doing that in homes, possibly on Sundays. We're looking forward to doing other kinds of services like evening services that have a different slant or a different flavor. And we're especially looking forward to establishing new connect groups for ladies, for men, for families, for couples, where we can have, just share in that times of wholehearted worship in that space, which we really do believe is on God's heart and is on our heart for this year. So you'll be hearing more of these things. We really want you to take part in things. Ask God where you want to be involved and what ministries you want to be part of. Renee is going to share now on relating authentically.
Thanks, Alana. It's really quite exciting when you're passing on things that you're so sure that the Lord has shown you. So it's lovely. So I'm in the circle that says relating authentically. And one of the buzzwords in the modern day is authentic. We want to be real. We don't want to be fake. There's too much fake around. We just want to be real. And for me, my favorite bit is just be the real deal. So I think that is something that we do well in Crossways. We are inclusive and we try to be the real deal. But it's also something that this relating authentically is something that doesn't happen just soma, as they say. It doesn't just happen. It needs to be kind of, we need to set out to be authentic and make it our goal. So we're going to find a lot of brokenness and a lot of needs around us. So take that as something that the Lord has shown you when you meet someone like that. Here's my ministry for now. And there you can build a relationship and develop the healing. Okay, so now, what's it going to look like if we relate authentically right here? So more connect groups, for sure. We have a lovely vibrant ladies connect group and one in the evenings. But we just need more of that, because that's what keeps us going when times are tough, like the years that have passed, the 2 years that have passed with COVID. That's where your core support is. Those people who know you well, those people who've spent time with you. So connect groups are a big thing. And meal sharing was a topic that the Lord really highlighted for us. And this is something that I just must read to you because it explains it so well. This is from the Ragamuffin Gospel. And it's by Brendan Manning. It's an old classic, but just has so much to say. Sadly, the meaning of meal sharing is largely lost in the Christian community today. In the Near East, to share a meal with someone is a guarantee of peace, trust, fraternity, and forgiveness. The shared table symbolizes a shared life. For an Orthodox Jew to say, "I would like to have dinner with you," is a metaphor implying, "I would like to enter into friendship with you." Even today, a Jew will share a cup of coffee with you, but to extend a dinner invitation is to say, "Come to my Mikdash Miat, the miniature sanctuary of my dining room table, where we will celebrate the most sacred and beautiful experience that life affords, friendship." And that really spoke to us and excited us to say that. Just picture a lot of meal sharing going on, and a lot of that in itself, just being around a table and sharing a meal, leads to relating authentically. So then, for individuals as well, what can you do? How can you be part of the relating authentically? And that's volunteer, to lead a connect group maybe, or make your home available, for a connect group or take part in one. And then you can invite people there. So there are lots of ways that you can do it. And that's really our heart today, is to just ask you to seek the Lord. What's right for you? And so I think I'll end up by saying, we need each other. Don't try and do this Christian walk on your own.
Thanks, Renee. Okay, I'm going to speak about the final circle, which is serving Jesus together. And hopefully, guys, you're just getting a bit of a sense of our heart and where we're really feeling God leading us. But in terms of serving Jesus together, Pam touched on it a bit earlier, the together is really important. And we really do feel that, you know, each one is so important. Each one of you has a calling. And we'd love each one of you to find a way to be part of us here at Crossways Church and to have, just find your ministry, really. That's what our heart would be, that you'd find what God calls you to do and then put your hand to it, whatever that looks like. That's really what we'd love to see. And guys, you'll see we have handed these out. The idea would be that you can take this home and just spend a little bit more time kind of going through it and thinking, as Renee said, we need each other. We really do need each other. And won't you just consider where Jesus is calling you to be involved? And there are going to be some of you that are really reaching out during the week. You know, some of you guys might be in ministry all week, like as a doctor or something like that. That's cool. Maybe this is your place where you really get fed. That's awesome. But then come and just serve coffee or do something like that. But just seek the Lord and ask Him, where is it, Jesus, that you want me to be part? We really believe everyone's got a role to play here, so we'd love you to do that. So each one is part of that, of serving Jesus together. Another part, and I just want to go to a little picture, and I'm actually going to ask Harvey to speak to this. Harvey's the farmer around here, and that's an example of a farm. And Harvey, if you can speak to that, thanks.
No, thanks, Doug. Yeah, like Tim, you'll know what it's like to burn fire breaks. I've burnt many, many kilometers of fire breaks in my life as a farmer. And but what we want to do is not have fire breaks. You know, fire break you burn so as to protect your environment. So we could burn a fire break around Crossways and say, right, this is Crossways. But that's not the plan. We want to get away with fire breaks, because we don't want to be an island in Hilton. We want to be able to relate to other people, other churches, the unsaved. Bring people into fellowship with Jesus, because as Erwin was saying, you know, our ultimate destination is in heaven, and what a wonderful place it'll be. But it'll be a great place as long as all the people that we know are with us. And so we don't want fire breaks to limit us here. So the idea is to get out there and relate.
Thanks, Harvey. And yeah, that word actually came at a time together. We were meeting with some of the leaders from some of the other churches, and one of them just had this amazing picture. And we just so resonated with that actually, you know, how amazing would it be if we really are working together and saying, God, what is it that you want for Hilton? And how do we work together to make that happen? So really, guys, we're not wanting to keep any fire breaks here. So, you know, whether that means you're getting involved in other churches as well, that's great. Let's all work together for His plans and His purposes. So again, if we get to the practical, just going back to the fact that there's lots of opportunities, I guess. We'd love to say there are lots of opportunities to serve. Whether that's helping out, and we've got amazing help every week or when it comes to getting the coffee and things going and that sort of stuff. But also, there's the teaching team. We've got that started now again. But, you know, you might find that that's your ministry. We'd love to know that. You know, whatever it is that you are feeling that God would love you to do, we'd love to see you doing that. So won't you give that some thought and let us know. We really would love to know how God's calling you. So I think that's it from me. I'm just going to ask Tones to wrap things up, if that's okay.
Yeah, Church, so I think we should be excited about serving Jesus. It's so exciting, a journey, adventure, I should say, when we're serving Jesus, because His yoke is light. The world's yoke is heavy, but Jesus' yoke is light. Let's say light, light. Jesus' yoke is light. Yes, it's light, but the world's yoke is heavy. And so
what we're not here to do is put any yokes on your shoulders, but to inspire you to want to serve Jesus, because when you do, it's the most best adventure you could ever have. I'm so excited about some of these new things, like the Sunday night service, which is going to be funky, it's going to be vibey, it's going to have awesome worship, it's going to be time for the Holy Spirit to be here, as an example. I'm excited about the meals at homes on a Sunday. Maybe not doing church in this way, but doing church slightly differently in order to facilitate true worship. I'm excited about the worship team and getting live worship again. Let's say amen to that one. All right, we want live worship back, hey? And I'm excited about also a combined service with Tumbleweed and with Mount Michael, which stemmed out of our sister churches, which were Zulu churches, which are Zulu churches, and we love them. And through COVID, we haven't been able to meet with them, so we're planning twice this year to have a huge celebration service with them, because that's what it's going to look like in heaven. All right, and we want to be with them. And so all of these are examples of where you can, if this excites you, if any of these excites you, or anything that others, you could tap into. So there is a little slip at the end of the thing. It's not obligatory. It's not meant to, you're not signing things away here. What it is just to get you to think, to pray, and so that we can support you. We'd love some feedback from you. It doesn't have to be on the slip. It could be on an email. It could be on anything, so that we can support you in your ministry. There was one last picture I want to show you. There's a picture given to us by the Lord about surfing. Okay, and I love surfing. There's no clicker here. And this is the last takeaway. You know, when you're surfing, one of my passions is that there's one thing you have to do when you're surfing. You have to paddle to get on the wave. You have to paddle. The wave itself has a huge amount of energy. And in order to catch it, you cannot be sitting still. You cannot be lying still and just hope it's going to take you. Unless it's one of those rollers. But what's going to happen is you're going to end up on the bottom. You're not going to be catching that. You're not going to be standing up in the white water. You don't want to catch the white water. You're just going to get, yeah. What you want to do is you want to catch the wave. You're going to get dumped. You want to catch the wave. And this picture was given to us that as a church, we just need to start paddling. Just get paddling. And that little energy that you expend, all of a sudden when you're surfing, you feel the surge of power behind you, and the next thing you're standing, and it's the most unbelievable experience, unbelievable thing that you could do. And it's the same as for serving Jesus. He wants us just to start paddling. You might not know exactly. I'd say to you, just start paddling. Start doing something. And the next thing you'll know, you'll be on the wave. And it's the most exciting thing ever, like I said, to serve Jesus. So we're going to wrap up there. I hope you enjoyed the vision service. If you have any questions, come and ask us. If you have any things you think we can do more of, come and tell us. We're all ears. We're going to finish now with a last song. Let's really worship the Lord as we close. And then please feel free to stay and mingle.
Send us out, we Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace.